It's elementary, my dear Dawson, on episode number 30 of the Retro Rewind podcast.
Retro Rewind podcast initialized. Mission identified. The Great Mouse Detective, 1986. Co-hosts online. Auditory analysis online. All systems nominal.
Welcome to the Retro Rewind podcast, where we take another look at movies and video games from 15 or more years ago so that we can let you know whether they're still worth revisiting today. You can find the show notes for this episode at retrorewindpodcast.com/RRP30. There you could leave us a comment on the episode. You can vote in our poll on whether you thought The Great Mouse Detective was classic or second class. And you can also find links to subscribe to the podcast. We'd love you if you did. On iTunes, Stitcher Radio.
We'd love you if you don't.
And more. My name is Francisco Ruiz. I am a dad, a designer, no longer a detective. Okay, never really was a detective.
What?
And I thought The Great Mouse Detective was going to be a classic. And I'm joined, as always, by my good friend and co-host, Paul Powers. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Francisco. Thanks for telling us if it was a classic or not.
You bet. Well, I predicted it'd be a classic.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I thought we were getting the show out of the way.
Oh, we're just done now?
Yeah. Right. No. Oh, hi.
Paul, my question for you this time is, who do you think makes a better Sherlock Holmes, Smaug or Iron Man?
Unfortunately, I haven't seen the Benedict Cumberbatch version
yet.
Sad. It's on my to-do list, yes. Oh. So I guess I'll have to go with Robert Downey Jr.
All right.
Although this Basil character was fun.
And what did you predict about this Basil character?
I thought it might be a classic.
Okay, very good.
Does that count? A might?
Sure, why not?
All right, then.
And in addition to Paul, we are joined once again by my lovely wife, Christy Ruiz. Welcome to the show once again, Christy.
Once again, thank you.
Christy, since a lot of people know who you are, I'm going to go ahead and ask you the same question I asked Paul so that they can get to know you from that aspect.
I'm pretty sure that you picked this question because of me.
No.
Because you knew you were going to ask me.
No, it's just I was
Smaug.
Lazy.
Benedict, of course.
And I would have to agree with you.
Really?
Well, wow. Not that Robert Downey Jr. is bad. Like, it's fine. It's fun. It's a good romp for a Redbox movie. But no, as a series that I would watch and rewatch over and over and over and over and over again, it would have to be Benedict.
So who makes a better Watson?
Oh, definitely Bilbo.
Okay.
But that's all beside the point. What did you predict, Christy, for Great Mouse Detective?
Hang on. What's your name again? Francisco. I don't remember what I predicted. I suppose maybe I thought it could be a classic.
Well, very good. That's all we need at this point. Paul, will you please enter our coordinates into the computer for Alice?
Okay. Boop.
And could you tell us what you're entering?
Oh, I'll tell you exactly where that I'm entering. We're going to head into our roundtable discussion, whether we think it was a classic or second class rating and why. And then we're going to go into our new tube segment after that. I'm going to wrap things up with feedback, contact info, and some wonderful show announcements that you got to stay tuned for.
Ooh, awesome. Thank you, Paul. So
you're welcome.
Alice, whenever you find our target.
Alert, alert, target located. Spoilers incoming. Engaging retro rewind reactor.
Just released on video. It's no mystery why kids love The Great Mouse Detective. Everyone has a favorite character.
Basketball is really smart because he made that formula and we don't even know how.
Actually, it's elementary.
Writing it was a mean rat.
What did you call me?
He doesn't like to be called a rat, so call him a mouse, okay?
I like the part where Toby's ears turn into stairs.
It's pure family fun. Disney's The Great Mouse Detective.
The Great Mouse Detective was released on July 2nd in 1986 in the US of A. It runs 74 minutes and is rated G, animated by, of course, the Walt Disney Company.
Of course.
Yes. The cast voice included Vincent Price as Rattigan and Alan Young as Mr. Flavish Hammer Frammer thingy. Like the Scrooge McDuck, as you can probably tell almost right away. And there are some other people involved in the making of it, but they're not as famous, so we'll skip that.
They're not important.
Well, they are, but just not as, I guess, or people wouldn't be as curious. The budget for this film was about $14 million.
Oh, my.
And it grossed to be about $40
million. What? Good on you, Great Mouse Detective.
There you go.
Or maybe good on you, advertising company for Disney.
Or that, yeah too.
So to those five-year-olds.
Yes. And what do we remember from when we watched it as five-year-ish olds? Let's see with our memory mind meld synopsis. An inventor is kidnapped, and his daughter seeks the help of Sherlock and recent acquaintance Watson. Oh, and their dog, Toby. The mouse Sherlock and Watson ride Toby and find out that they must defeat the rat Moriarty, whose henchmen sing and get drunk to the point of calling Rattigan a rat and being fed to his cat. Basil escapes a trap Rattigan sets for him, allowing him, in the end, to stop Rattigan's plan to replace the queen with a robot. But Sherlock ultimately defeats Moriarty in the clock tower Big Ben.
Wow.
Talk about mixed up stuff right there.
So there was no Sherlock. Well, there was an implied Sherlock.
Yeah, exactly. The Sherlock and Moriarty was mainly me not remembering that this was not a straight retelling of Sherlock, but with animal characters.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I called Watson.
Yeah,
I called him Watson when he. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
But you know what? Let's find out what Christy really loved about The Great Mouse Detective. Please kick us off.
Kick you off. Get out right now.
Kick off the conversation.
I'm pretty sure that I loved Toby. The end.
But you're not sure. You're pretty sure, but you're not 100% sure. You're like, I think I liked him, but I'm not.
Toby was cute.
Yeah.
I liked Toby.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. Oh, I don't have much to talk about.
There's more than that because he's a fun dog. I mean, who wouldn't want to own a dog like Toby? I mean, I think Toby's a great dog.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed Toby as the character. I think he was one of the funnest elements of The Great Mouse Detective, especially like just his loyalty. And it's interesting that he wasn't a dog that talked, so he is even more so a dog.
Than the mice, yeah.
Than the mice, yeah.
And I liked how Olivia, the little girl, pronounced his name Toby.
I didn't so notice cute. A difference, but...
Well, it's because of her accent.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Toby, sit.
Yeah.
Paul, what was something you really loved about The Great Mouse Detective?
This is kind of hard because everything that I loved about this movie, I didn't love 100%. So it's hard. Yeah. So everything that I have something positive to say, I also have negative to say about it.
That is very similar to me, but please go ahead and try to stick with the positive.
So I will start off with the music. I like the theme.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I've had this, the theme song in my playlist for a couple of years now. For this movie, I like the theme song. But what I didn't like about it is how it was introduced in the film. It starts off with the kidnapping, and it's kind of like on a low note. And then all of a sudden, the music comes in, and it's like bright and cheery, and it's like da-da-da-da, and it's like, wait, that's an abrupt mood change. Let's have a little subtle, subtle mood change there.
I forgot about that, but yeah, you're absolutely right. It was very, you said perfectly, abrupt.
Yes.
And unexpected. It's almost like, yay for kidnappings.
So I like the theme, unfortunately. And it did play a little bit throughout the film and at the end of the film.
Mm-hmm.
I wish there could have been more, not songs like a sing-along, but there could have been more themes that were more memorable like that first one.
Mm. I was actually surprised at the limited number of musical songs, I guess, where the characters are singing. But Christy, what did you think about the score? Or did you have any thoughts?
I thought it matched with the movie itself. I remember commenting about it, and you seemed surprised. I said something about, I kind of like the music. You're like, really? That song was fun. But yeah. It wasn't that I would take it and listen to it without the movie, but I don't think it distracted.
It wasn't very abrupt for you, out of place?
Well, then I'm not talking about that part. I was at the end of the movie when I noticed it. Like, I'm thinking to myself, right, I'm going to have to talk about this. I should notice the music. And that's a point to me that if I'm not going, ugh, this music or this music, then it fits. It's good.
At the end, it's very good. Yeah, I agree.
It's like the entire movie for me. Like, it was just, it's average. It's C. It was a C. Like, it fit. It was a bad.
Not to give away your final rating at all.
No, not at all.
You can't give away the ending.
I'm not giving anything away. I'm just saying it was average. Like, I didn't hate it, but I wasn't, and I'm not going to put it in my iTunes playlist and listen to it while I'm running.
You're talking about the soundtrack. Do you listen to it while you're running?
Yeah, I said yeah. Well, not while I'm running.
That's why I was talking. Why would I run?
Yeah. I mean, there's no people chasing fun. Me. Kind of fun is that?
Very good, guys. Something I really loved about The Great Mouse Detective, in addition to Toby, who I thought, like, again, was very cute. Though as a sidebar, I didn't really get why he didn't like Dawson. Did either of you sort of get
that? Just had to have a little conflict in that little trio. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
Or quadro.
Kind of mix things up.
Sure. But I really loved how there are these homages to other Disney films throughout the movie. Like, there's a Dumbo wind-up toy in the toy shop.
And
the outfit that Dawson is wearing when they went to that sailor bar thing was an inverse of Mr. Smee's outfit from Peter Pan.
You're reading too much into that, but okay.
No, I don't think so, but that's cool.
Yeah, so there are probably more in there that I just missed, but it was, I rarely see homages in Disney movies to other Disney movies, at least that I can remember. But that is something I like it when movies do that. It sort of ties a overall studio together.
You did get really excited when you were like, that's like the outfit Mr. Smee had on. And I was like, no, it's not. It's just a pirate-looking outfit. And you're like, no, it isn't.
And he's fat.
Yeah, and he's awkward because he keeps pulling down his midriff shirt. Like, you're not a teenage girl wearing inappropriate clothes. What's going on right now?
You know,
well, he's like Gus from Cinderella with the shirt that barely fits him.
That's true, but Gus was cute.
Well, they were both mice.
Oh, that mouse.
Yeah, the fat one.
Yeah. What's interesting is I don't like Peter Pan. So it's more just that.
What?
Yeah, well, at least I don't remember liking it.
You should do that one for a retro rewind.
No, you shouldn't.
I get the sense that a lot of the older Disney movies, I would predict them as second class.
This was an older Disney movie, though.
This was actually the cusp of the new age of Disney, though. Like, after this came movies like Aladdin and Lion King. This was sort of the start of that.
All right.
As so says Wikipedia.
Everything that I'm saying is being invalidated. No, that's wrong. Nope. Nuh-uh.
Nope. But you know what isn't wrong are the things that you felt you really liked about the movie. So please tell us another one.
I got nothing.
Okay, Paul, how
the
about you?
The fat cat that ate the mouse.
Yeah. You liked it? I thought that was so sad.
It is sad, but but
very well done, yeah.
The mouse. The cat's mouth. Don't know. I'm reaching.
And
that's
totally fine. You can
say
this is
great. A+. No giving away anything here. Maybe it's because I wasn't knitting.
Oh yeah.
I wasn't knitting throughout.
You were committed to trying to take it in, and so I appreciate that.
Is that what you assume when I'm knitting? I'm not committed. Let's have a discussion on this podcast.
Paul, what was something else you really liked about?
One of the things I really like the character designs of the characters, mainly Basil himself, and the way he was animated and moved around, and the dog, and but again, I don't. But some of the things, there were some character designs that I didn't like the little girl. You can't really tell she's a little girl.
Yeah, she kind of looked like a boy a lot. I mean, she didn't have her
gender
voice.
Neutral. I don't know. Yeah. And maybe they were going for that, but they didn't seem like they were going for that. So, but I like the way it was animated and flowed, and I like that style.
Very good. Something I'll go ahead and we got a few responses from Facebook about what people remembered or if they remember liking the Great Mouse Detective. One of them came from Ryan Jackson, a good longtime listener. Thank you, Ryan, for listening. Anyway, he says, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie as a kid and probably would as an adult, being a huge Sherlock Holmes fan. From my memories, I would rate it a classic, but a rewatch may be in order.
Yes, definitely. A rewatch is always in order.
Yes,
for
please,
anything.
Ryan, rewatch it. And then watch the BBC Sherlock Holmes and then comment.
Well, that's sure a little bit tainted.
Nope. Not tainted at all. Just do what I say, man. Do it. Just kidding.
Ryan, you have direct orders from my wife.
I'm just kidding. I'm not that mean. Do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want. Whatever
as long as you don't hurt anybody.
Speaking of hurting people, what did you guys think of Radigan?
Wait. Aren't there more Facebook comments or no?
Yeah, the last one I'm saving for the end to transition into our hate section.
Oh, well, I have another Facebook comment from Will Lindauer. He said that he loved that movie.
Oh, wow. I missed that. Thank you, Paul, for sharing that. Well,
that's fine. Because there's people that follow me on Facebook.
What? You have followers on Facebook?
Look, I don't want to say, but I think I might have two. So what about Radigan?
Oh, I was just curious.
To Radigan?
If you guys liked Radigan as a character. Or if we need to save him for the next. I mean, you were talking about character design, Paul, so I was curious.
Yeah, the design of the character for Radigan was fine. I think he didn't really match his voice as well as it could have. But I don't know how to make it. I don't know how to necessarily make that better. Maybe he just wasn't so big and bulky, but then he wouldn't be as...
The villain from All Dogs Go to Heaven, that dog. That voice needs to be with Radigan.
Oh, I don't remember that voice, but I wouldn't doubt that.
Charlie.
Yeah, that sounds... Yeah. I agree with Christy on that assessment.
Cool.
But the character, I think he was a fun character to match Basil. He seemed to be well, he had his brains about him, unlike me right now, like setting traps and things like that. Or at least he seemed to. So I thought, for as a villain goes, I thought it was pretty well matched.
Okay.
For the hero.
Cool. Speaking of the hero Basil, I really enjoyed, and I think it's just sort of my sense of humor, but it was fun for me that he never got Olivia's last name of Flaversham.
Yes.
He kept mispronouncing it. And it tickled me, and I don't know why.
Yes. You know what else was endearing?
What?
Dawson. Before he owned the creek. Yes. Oh, I thought I felt his character. I thought I enjoyed his character. I was like, you know, he's not annoying. So I thought that was nice.
Yeah. At least he certainly wasn't annoying. No. I have one other thing that I really love, but I think it's matched by what Paul really loves. So I'll let.
Oh, no. Go for it.
Well, so if there's one thing that made this movie a classic in our eyes, let's go ahead and share that. So for me, it was the scene where Basil and Dawson get out of the trap that Ragan set for them, with where they're in the mouse trap and there's the axe and the crossbow and all these different elements that are going to squash them, which I really love that, and how it sort of ends with him getting Dawson out and catching Olivia.
And smiling for the picture.
Yeah. It's like,
yes,
perfect.
Best scene ever for that movie. Yes.
Yes.
I will say that's one of the finer scenes in cinematic history.
Wow. High praise from Paul.
Yes. And you can quote me on that or misquote me on that. Either way, it's fine.
Okay. was that the same for you, Paul, that is what would make The Great Mouse Detective a classic?
If I were to pick one scene to make it a classic, yes.
Or just one part that you love that would
be. I think the overall not story, but it is a Sherlock story, which is fun. I think would make it a classic for me, but that is definitely by far the best scene. So cool. I agree and disagree at the same time.
All right. I think I get that. Christy, how about you? I mean, I know there's not a whole lot that like is mostly average, but if you had to pick something that it said like, yeah, this would make it a classic of anything, what would that be? Would it be Toby or something else?
I have no idea how to answer that question. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
The robot sprouting neck.
All right.
Faceless queen screaming at, I don't know.
Mega queen.
That's not it at all. I'm just that's just an image that popped into my head just now.
I like it. We'll go with that.
It reminds me of, there's another robot that looks like that one. I know.
From Superman 3?
No, it's a cartoon.
RetroRewindPodcast.com/RRP1.
It's a cartoon and he's tall and skinny and his head looks, oh, robots. There we go. Got it.
Yeah. From the movie robots.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That's what the face reminds me of whenever she loses her chubby queen like cheeks.
Okay. I've never seen that movie, but I know.
Oh, it has a great message.
It's a good movie.
I wouldn't say it's a great movie necessarily, but it has a great message.
That's with Ewan McGregor, right?
I think so. Yeah.
And
Robin Williams. Yeah.
Wait, Robin Williams in a non-Disney movie that isn't, Ferngully? Yeah.
Wow. All right, well,
We should do Ferngully.
No, I don't want to watch. I would rather watch The Great Mouse Detective again over Ferngully.
Oh, really? Interesting. Well, let's talk a bit more about that in our hate section. But before we get there, I'd like to share Sharon Powers shared on Facebook. Josh and I rewatched it a few nights ago.
Oh, good for you. You're ready for the podcast.
Yes. Good job, Sharon. And also thank you, Sharon and Josh, for both being previous guest hosts on the podcast. But anyway, she continues, we thoroughly enjoyed watching it. You can bet I rated it a classic, but Josh says it is and it isn't. So whatever. That was a funny laugh, Paul. But what things were not so funny in The Great Mouse Detective? Paul, how about we start with you?
Oh, that mouse getting eaten. That wasn't funny. You know, one of the things I didn't like? The abruptness of the music when it first came on to the theme.
Wow, deja vu.
Yeah. What about you, somebody?
Well, Christy, what was something you really
I think it's
despised
funny,
about this movie?
You keep talking about that mouse being eaten. And I agree, while I agree that if I wouldn't want my 2-year-old daughter down, be like, hey, look, let's watch this movie.
Let's watch drunk people get
right.
Eaten.
Let's give you a dose of reality, Disney style.
Well, I don't know, like, what other movies have they shown? They don't actually, like, everybody wins and nobody dies and everyone gets a blue ribbon and a trophy and isn't everything equal and great?
That's from the movie Robots, right?
So, I don't like it, but I think it's, but I like it. Anyway, that's what we're talking about. That's just, like, too meta. Anyway, I don't like it. I don't like it. It's just, I didn't knit. I didn't knit. So I like remember getting up and staring at the screen and just standing there and being like, what am I even thinking about right now?
Are you talking about the movie in general? Yeah. You didn't like the movie in general?
Just, it didn't hold my interest at all. Okay,
the storyline, the plot line didn't hold your interest.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Well, what's the difference between the movie and the storyline and the plot line?
There is a difference.
Yeah, and you could say movies like, for instance, and this may get some hate, but movies like Avatar are like stunning to watch, and you can get very drawn in just by the visuals, but the story is kind of like samey as lots of stories and not all that interesting.
Okay, then I would agree that the storyline or the plot or whatever, how the movie was going along, it didn't hold my interest. It didn't seem particularly thrilling or engaging. I didn't connect with any of the characters. Basil was fun. Like, I liked the way he looked, but he annoyed me. Radigan was, like, bad, but not... Maybe I'm just used to Disney bringing out Satan as ever on all of their villains. So, like...
What did you call me?
Like, he was amusing, but... I'm also the Moriarty on the BBC Sherlock spoilers. Yes. That, like, when you raise everything up to that level, I'm like, meh.
You can't compare.
I know. You do, because people are like, it's Sherlock. If you love Sherlock, you'll love this. Well, that's not necessarily true. Then again, maybe I'm not a diehard Sherlock fan, because I won't watch the American version of Sherlock. Don't tell my sister.
Oh, with Lucy Liu?
Yeah, I just don't. I'm like, eh, no.
It's elementary. Really, it's elementary.
But okay, yes. People can disagree with me and find what I'm saying to be uncomfortable and untrue, but whatever. I guess that's why I'm going to mix up the pot, make people upset, because you're just so nice, Francisco and Paul. You guys are just so nice. All right, well, Paul's like, you're done talking. You have to be done. Well,
unfortunately, I'm going to have to agree with you that I didn't find the... I mean, the plot sounds good on paper. When I think about it, I'm like, yeah. But when the movie came to an end, I'm like, oh, good, it's over. I can go on to something else now.
Yep.
So there, I don't know what it was. I mean, I don't think it was the pacing, because everything seemed right. I don't know why, but I couldn't. Maybe it was my mood. I don't know, but I couldn't really get engaged into it. And I was frustrated because I liked so many of the components separately.
I wanted to watch it.
Yeah. It's not that I wanted to like it more. Let's put it that way.
And you know what? I would completely agree with you. I do want to say that having seen the first season of the BBC Sherlock Holmes, or Sherlock, excuse me, it did. I got very engaged in that. I'm like, and I never really liked Sherlock so much until that. And I'm like, wow, Sherlock is a good character.
You're not supposed to compare.
And so let me finish. And so I was even more excited to watch The Great Mouse Detective again, having seen that. So I did have probably higher expectations than I should have had.
Yeah.
Is it like people like you? Is you and I were diehard Lord of the Rings, Tolkien, anything surrounding that fans. So I've heard tell that people prefer one Hobbit over the other, and people who would prefer them not to be split into three. That's so annoying. And I'm like, three more movies. I don't care what they're like. Just give me more movies. I suppose if you really are a diehard nerd herder, diehard, like any Sherlock, I don't care, just give it to me fan, then what I'm saying is a moot point. So
so you can just,
I think I know what you're saying. If you're a fan of the character, no matter what incarnation it takes,
you're gonna like it. Yeah.
But if you're like, I read the original Sir Arthur Conan Doyle stories and nothing matches them.
Oh, yeah. because when you disagree or you become pompous and have an accent.
Well, no, because he's British, so I thought it made sense.
We apologize to all of our non-United Statesian listeners that might be so offended.
Very nice. So that sort of umbrellas everything we're going to talk about here for me. Something sort of more on the minuscule side, though, that bothered me was Olivia. And I don't know if it was her ambiguity in gender. I mean, I know she's a girl, but something about she just annoyed me as a character, I think.
I thought it was sweet that she lost her parents and she had a cool accent and. But you didn't like that.
No, as a child character, she just bothered me. I forget what the specifics were. I felt like she wasn't doing things that she was told to do, or does she listen to her dad?
Wow. Wow.
It's like
still you have an almost 2-year-old and you're still complaining about why doesn't that kid do what they're supposed to?
You know what? It's if they don't do what they're supposed to, then that's fine. But then I have less compassion for the consequences of that. And that's something God's working on in me.
Scrooge McDuck's daughter.
Speaking of, this is very random, but that Flaversham has quite the R&D budget to be able to make a ballerina robot that does all that movement. And it's probably because his alter ego is Scrooge McDuck, so he can fund all that.
Oh, what a lame.
Oh, hey, I think I thought of something else I really liked about that.
What I just said?
Oh, the beautiful ballerina.
The ballerina toy.
Oh, okay.
That was nice.
That how little moment. That pop, moment. Pop. And then, oh, nice, Paul. That moment. I don't remember the break-in. Like, I didn't remember that. And I was all like, aw, a moment. This is ugly. This is ugly. This is scary. I don't like this. Mommy. Okay.
We needed the abrupt music change to
exactly,
go
exactly right. Dun, 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 dun.
Was that close?
No, I was trying to do Great Mouse Detective. Christy, what was something else you didn't like?
I didn't like that they kept showing Olivia's underwear. Is that weird that I didn't like that?
They did?
No. Yeah, like every once in a while, they would flash underneath her skirt and you could see her little white underpants.
I never noticed that.
It was like a anime when they do that in anime.
Yeah, for the, yeah.
That's what I thought of. And I was like, why am
the
I thinking
Lolita
of...
anime. Yeah, I thought of that too.
But I'm like,
I
was this like, is...
That's my... My mind now of no being too much educated now.
Right,
going,
right,
oh,
right.
Yeah,
that's yep. That's how I felt. Too much educated.
The loss of innocence.
Yep.
Well, I really did not.
More than once, it happened more than once.
I believe you guys. I don't know why I did not notice that. One thing though, somewhat related. I was surprised at the raciness of the can-can dancer girl.
That's what I wanted to bring up.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, it wasn't like terrible, like.
But for 1986,
a G-rated Disney movie
for five-year-olds,
quite unexpected.
I don't mind the can-can dance, but I thought it was weird to me, and this is just my interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
The character design of the main mouse can-can girl.
Mm-hmm.
Look to be about 16 rather than an adult. Like a teenage mouse, which really made that scene in my head more inappropriate.
Yep.
I was like, rather than, she didn't look like a full-grown woman dancer.
Oh.
Mouse dancer. So that's what I didn't like,
okay.
What I was trying to think about before.
The voice, sort of, her voice, I think,
right,
is what
sounded
made it,
much older.
Yeah, so I wasn't... I think that's an astute observation, though. I didn't key into that, but I can totally see how it would look like.
How are you supposed to have conversations with your young kids if this is a G-rated movie? How are you supposed to sit down and have a conversation with them? So, what's that place they were in? That's called a bar. What were they doing? They were drinking alcohol. What's alcohol? What's well, that girl? Why was she drinking? Why was she singing? Like, what were those? Like, I mean,
entertainment. Well,
though I gotta say, maybe that's a good way to engage your.
Okay, child I'm gonna sit down and have my kids watch an inappropriate film.
No, you don't so do it just for that purpose. Like, but I'm saying if you're watching Great Mouse Detective or a similar movie that does open the door to converse with them about that. And
I just don't, okay. I'm like, why is it there? Why?
Now that brings up an interesting point. I'm sorry.
Go for it, Paul.
Why, what about this scene do you think is inappropriate for a G movie?
Leotard. It was that essentially for me is like, she is wearing a bathing suit and
okay.
And
so they can't wear bathing suits.
No. And the way she was dancing in that bathing suit.
The way she was. Okay.
And something about the eyes. This
it's
is
your sounds, education.
This is probably me. Exactly. My education. Her eyes looked very sexualized. I don't know why. That's how I perceived it. And that's kinda probably like, more speaking about me than the movie, but.
So how does her eyes compare to in The Lion King when...
It's the same thing. You know what? That's the exact same thing.
No. Which one is more? I think The Lion King one is way more.
Oh, okay. I'd say they're about equal. I'd have to see The Lion King again. But yeah, yes, exactly. You're talking about Nala and Simba.
Yes.
Doing it on the hill.
Well, she laid back and had that come get me tiger kind of look.
Mm-hmm. I know. I own the movie. It's one of my favorites, except for that part. I'm just like, can we just take a big giant eraser to those? Because are they people? Are they lions? Should I fast forward through tonight? This? Do you need a moment? I don't understand. I just don't like.
You don't like sex and...
No, I don't like sexualized. Like, I don't like this idea of a giant group of men sexualizing a singular or group of women. It's, I mean,
well, they're not women; they're all mouse.
Whatever.
I know.
They're women.
It just tracks down the wrong road, and I'm hypersensitive to it.
Anthropomorphized.
Oh, stop it!
Stop it, jeez.
I do want to say though, and this is just
people too.
From memory, and we'll go on to someone else after this. I promise, dear listener.
Another movie?
No, well, kind of. From In Five Will Goes West, there's a similar mice and can-can dancers, and how I remember it, it's not as racy for whatever reason.
We should rewatch it.
We will.
I love that movie.
And so. In rewatching it, I may find I have the same issue, but from my memory, I don't remember it being like this.
I think there's an adult conversation. There's implications of like when the cat's talking to the mouse. She's like, "This is just the way you got to be until you can make it to where you want to go." And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
What are you assuming? No.
But whatever. So to cap off this conversation, I think when we watched this as kids, I doubt those things came to mind for us. The sort of the filters that we have as adults probably were not being put on when we're watching it, but I think they're still there. And since we are rewatching them as adults, they are there. So be aware if you rewatch it.
We're going to have a great conversation when we cover Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Leave me out of that.
I just think about remember me.
Stop it. I have horrible memories from that. I cried.
Oh.
Anyway,
I think I screamed and left the living room.
Oh my goodness. Something else that I didn't like was I remember the clock tower scene being a lot more epic than it was.
That one when the lightning hit and Marty was sent through time.
It definitely looks like Back to the Future when they're on the outside. But I'm talking about on the inside.
That's when you were five,
it being a lot cooler.
When you're five and you watch something versus when
that's a good point.
And this was the first time that Disney incorporated
digital
computer animation for the background. to...
Go ahead. I was
going
to say, according to Wikipedia, apparently Black Cauldron used computer graphics in some way.
Oh, then somebody at Disney told me the wrong info.
Sad. Yes. But it may have been for something other than backgrounds, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but it wasn't often seen. So even at that time, to see that going on, it certainly was an epic moment.
Yeah.
At that time.
And that's probably why I remembered it as such.
Yes.
It's like when you rewatch Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron, because everyone should.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
I died a little inside.
It's worth seeing.
You shut your mouth. It's amazing.
I said it's worth seeing.
Hey, she said shut your mouth. Oh,
sorry. No, I was just referencing. There's that movie. There's like, there were leaps and bounds in how they use technology and animation in that movie. But because like nobody likes horses, I don't know. They don't talk about it. That's kind of sad. I don't.
Sorry, Spirit.
Random information for all of you out there. Also, it's incredibly difficult to animate a horse. Okay.
Animate a hobbit, I would think. And a hobbit.
Yeah. Especially if they're running through like the underground goblin caves.
Wow. Anyway. Paul or Christy, what was something else you didn't really like about The Great Mouse Detective, Spirit,
just in general?
Something else I don't like is
what else? It
really irks me whenever I can't sleep.
Oh, gosh. You know what really grinds my gears?
I was gonna say, go there, but I'm there? Like,
when these aren't the droids you're looking for, I know, right?
I didn't like going back to the chick in the bar. I thought she was important, and then suddenly she was no longer there.
That's a really good point. It did seem like they were saying her up as an important character, but then nothing.
Oh, that's for the sequel.
Oh, all right.
Search for more money.
Oh, my gosh.
See, now I'm trying to remember, and I can't even remember. Did something? Oh, yeah. Okay, Radigan died at the end. All right.
Well, he fell into the clouds.
Yeah. He could have been saved by a propeller thing, too.
Well, there's only one, but he could be saved by something else.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It
was just
the cat he landed on.
Exactly. That cat's awesome. Pussy poo. Five Goes West again. I don't know.
Okay. Paul, how about you? I'm sort of saving mine because I'm going to be going for a long time. So
then go for it.
Well, let me go ahead and finish off with the things that, if anything made this a second class for you guys, what would it be, Paul?
I have to think.
Okay, Christy?
Oh, golly. I don't know. I don't know. They just, everything was, pun not intended, two-dimensional. I don't know.
Except
I don't have
clockworks.
I don't have one specific thing that made it.
The whole sum was not greater than, or the
sum
it wasn't
was not
the,
greater than. Dang it!
The sum of its parts. That's what I was about to say. It doesn't work that
the
way.
The whole was not greater than the sum of its
sum
parts.
Of its parts. Yes. Yeah, I think that's what would make it a second class for me. Unfortunately, when you put all these great little wonderful puzzle pieces together, it's great, but not like, oh, this is one of the best movies of all time,
yeah,
kind of thing, you know?
And I would have to agree definitely with you guys. For me, the thing that would make The Great Mouse Detective a second class was that it wasn't enough of a mystery, I felt. Like Sherlock Holmes, I'm expecting it to be a mystery. And so this launches me into a new segment called Retro Rewrite. Right. Where Francisco tells you how they should have made the movie.
Oh, no.
Oh, jeez.
Here we go.
Wow.
Let's call it fabulous fan fiction.
Appreciate you guys' support.
Oh, that was amazing.
Francisco's fabulous fan fiction.
There you go.
That's some great alliteration.
Yeah. And the best part, it's fabulous.
Here we go, guys. So the
it's
movie
all
starts
fantasy
out
from here on out.
movie starts out the same way with
an abrupt better music.
Better music. But and then we get to Basil's home.
Wow, that was short. and then we get to the end.
That's exactly how it sounded. The movie, that was amazing.
The movie goes the same way as it did up until we get to Basil's home. Then what happens is we find out he was just the whole bullet thing was actually him ending another case. It had nothing to do with Radigan and him trying to get Radigan in jail. Then Flavisham, Olivia, and Dawson come to him.
Okay,
and he's trying to figure out who took Olivia's father, and throughout the movie, it sort of they think it's this bat, and the bat is essentially a separate criminal. Him and Ragan are not connected in this rewrite, and so he's going after the bat, but then he gets. There's some other evil, which is Radigan, that is sort of intersecting with that. And the movie sort of goes and we find that.
You say sort of like five times.
We sort of find. Radigan still did employ Fidget, but Basil has been going after Fidget this whole time just to find out that he was being trapped and set up by Radigan. Then they get trapped. Let me finish. Then they get trapped.
Because you don't want to eliminate that scene.
No. That you still have that scene. But instead of Basil being... let me mute Christy. Instead of Basil being... we don't need to hear you snoring through my rewrite.
Well, one is more interesting than the other. I won't say which one. So escape, and then what?
Well, Basil isn't all downtrodden, but he figures out the trap and actually goes on to defeat Radigan. Essentially, he doesn't know he's going after Radigan until he falls into the trap. Okay,
and then suddenly Radigan's picture appears, and he's like, "I gotcha."
No. So then he finds out that it is Radigan this whole time. This sort of elusiveness—you you don't really know who it is until this trap point. And then they escape, and Radigan's like, "How did you escape that?" And then we find out Basil, all the way along, knew it was Radigan because he tells you all these clues, a la the BBC version, like because of this, because of this, because of this. And so you find that Basil is actually this huge genius, way more genius than
So he pretends not to know it's Radigan when he does the whole time.
Exactly, because he needs to trap Radigan.
Kids movie.
To make sure he well kids see movie. I think they could have done this in a way I thought about that while I was thinking out this rewrite. I thought about, this is a kids movie. Are they going to be able to follow this? And I think they could do it in a way where it would be very followable.
It hurt my head listening to this.
And so
the end.
So then they cut to the queen blowing up.
I don't know if the whole robot angle is still there.
But and so like the end.
It worked way better in my head. I don't know if it would have made it better. But
usually does, my love. It usually does work better in your head.
It would have made it way more interesting, especially on rewatching it as adults. If there was that added level to Basil's character.
So you're saying what you wanted was more fun when you rewatched it, so you rewrote it. I wonder how you're going to rate this movie. I liked it so much I rewrote the entire thing while I was watching it again.
No, it was after I watched it.
But he rewrites every movie if you give him the opportunity.
I do that a lot.
Do.
Anyway.
She only said what we were all thinking.
That's what I do.
I'm done, guys.
That's good.
If you stuck with listening to all that, I applaud you.
He's not actually applauding you. You should feel offended.
There's your applause. Wow. But Alice, can you see if we have a firing solution?
Firing solution complete.
Rating salvo at the ready. On your mark.
You sounded so sad and defeated.
Yeah, feed me to that cat.
No.
Ding, 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 ding.
No.
Christy, let's start with you. How would you rate The Great Mouse Detective, a classic or second class, and why?
Second class. I wanted it to be a classic.
Shocker.
I got... Stop it. Rude.
You're on the talk.
Rude. I'm awesome and funny. I wanted to like it. I remembered. Wow.
Sorry. Please. I'm sorry I interrupted. Please.
I wanted to like it. I remembered smiling when I thought the Gray's Mouse Detective, yay, and the dog. Toby.
Oh, by the way, back to my rewrite. They should have said we picked him up from a pound. He's a hound dog. We picked him up from Baskerville. That would have been a nice tie-in to
the Oh, yeah.
And then his eyes turn cute. Red and then he eats all the mice.
No, it's just an homage. That's all. It's just a nice little touch. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. I interrupted you yet again. Christy, please continue.
You derailed me like four times. I was about to
say, someone off their meds because they're not making any sense right now.
Okay. I was explaining why it was the second class. And I also would not let Sophia watch it because.
At all.
No, it was scary. They were just like, no. The bat. Wait. The bat popping in? No.
So she's 17 and you're like, turn that off.
No.
You are not allowed to watch that.
No, when she's 17, whatever. I'm talking about like...
What age is age appropriate in your head for her, for this movie?
I don't know. I wouldn't ever suggest it. I wouldn't be like, hey, honey, go back and watch this 1986 classic. I'd say, hey, honey, go watch The American Tale or An American Tale in... Or Five Will Goes West, or Man from the Snowy River, or Return to Snowy River, or The Black Stallion, or whatever, or The Lion Spirit. King, or Aladdin, Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron. Like, there's so many other movies from the 1980s, 1990s that I would say, watch this before The Great Mouse Detective. Plus, we don't own it. Okay.
And we may never will. What?
I wanted to like it, sorry.
That's okay. You don't have to apologize. So, Chrissy rates it, The Great Mouse Detective, a second class. Paul, how do you rate it?
This is hard because I really enjoy... I think it's a good movie, okay? For me, I enjoyed it as a kid and I enjoyed it as an adult. If you had never seen this before, I can't say you have to watch this. And unfortunately, that's been my criteria for a classic. And at this point, I don't know if there's any movie that I have to say, well, you have to watch, well, besides all the other ones that we already covered. But
so maybe every movie now is second class from Paul.
I looked at the list of upcoming movies that we have like a tentative, and I'm looking through most of them, and I'm like, I think I got to change my criteria.
That's fair. As long as you do a big announcement about it, I am changing my criteria. That's
what. But I don't know what to change it to. So until then, this is second class for me.
All right. Second class from Paul, because he would not recommend it to his friends if they came over.
And they've never seen it before. But if you enjoyed it as a kid... I think that you would enjoy watching it again, maybe not as much as you did as a kid, but I wouldn't say that you shouldn't watch it. But I know some people would disagree with me. Francisco, what would you say?
As you could probably tell from my massive rewriting, I would unfortunately rate The Great Mouse Detective a second class as well. I wanted to enjoy this movie, and it was tough for me as well, Paul. There were several parts that were very enjoyable, and
I agree.
And I liked aspects of it, but overall, it's just like very similar to what Christy said. Like, what am I watching? Not that I was questioning what I was watching, but that it's like, is this really worth my time? And it wasn't so enjoyable that I'm like, yes, I'm going to watch this again and I'm going to share it with Sophia. So I didn't fall asleep during it, but I'm going to have to rate Great Mouse Detective a second class.
I should have knit. I was knitting. I might have rated it a class.
No, but then we would not have gotten your true rating, which I appreciate more. So unfortunately, unless you're like a Disney diehard maybe, or...
But you, I like it as a Disney film for its time.
According to the Retro Rewind podcast, though, The Great Mouse Detective is a unanimous second class movie. Leave it in your memory unless you have to watch it for a movie.
Well, that's
report.
Francisco saying, yeah. I think it's fun as a rewatch, but there are definitely better movies out there.
All right. Thank you, Paul and Christine.
You're welcome.
For your
Bye.
Ratings.
Oh, for the ratings. Oh, okay.
Do you remember playing great PC games like King's Quest, Command & Conquer, and X-Wing? Do you remember spending hours tweaking your config sys and autoexec bat files to eke out just one more K of conventional memory? If you do, then you may be interested in my show, The Upper Memory Block. Every 2 weeks, we talk in-depth about a game, game series, company, or technology from the DOS and pre-Windows XP gaming era. We'll discuss the story, gameplay, and technology of the games of the time. But more importantly, we're going to focus on what made each game special, interesting stories from their development, and how they shaped what PC gaming is today. If you remember gaming in the late 80s and early 90s, or you're interested in finding out more about it, come join your host Joe in the Upper Memory Block. That's the Upper Memory Block podcast at umbcast.com, or find it on iTunes.
Alice? We see what's new on our tubes.
I forgot I was on the ship.
New tube systems engaged.
If I
There's
left,
no escape,
I'd be
Paul.
Floating outside exactly. And exploding.
Paul, what is new on your tube?
Oh, I saw a movie this past month. It came out, I think, in the summer of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
But in China, it's called The Grandmaster.
Okay.
It's a story. It's one of the, I think it's like the fourth or fifth movie on the guy who trained.
Jackie Chan? No.
Not Jackie
Bruce
Chan.
Lee. Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee, yeah.
Ip Man or something?
Yeah, Ip Man. So this is called The Grandmaster, and it stars.
Jet Li?
No, but it does have the Chinese girl from.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah, but also
Zhang Ziyi, I
think. Yeah, from Rush Hour.
Yes.
Yeah, so she's one of the main characters.
Rush Hour 2, technically.
Yes, thank you.
Can you let him talk? Oh my god!
No, I appreciate that. So it was I enjoy a nice kung fu movie. It was all in Chinese, I think.
Oh, okay.
With English subtitles.
Sure.
And I wish I had seen this on the big screen because some of the fighting scenes in it were, I thought, really well done.
Oh, cool.
The story moved kind of slow.
This is more just a vehicle for martial arts.
No, I thought it was well done.
Oh,
okay. It just moved kind of slow.
Mm.
So if you're into that, if you like the other Ip Man movies or you're really into the martial arts and seeing some of the fighting techniques, and you're out of movies to watch, I'd recommend people to go check this out.
I've seen every other movie. Oh, here's
well, there's
one.
There's not that as many, you know, as there are other genres.
Oh, you're out of movies in that genre to watch.
Yes.
I think in general.
I didn't mean, no.
First watch The Great Mouse Detective, and then watch Ip Man.
Or The Grandmaster.
The Grandmaster, yes.
Very good, Paul. Christy, what is new on your tube?
Well, I guess it's not really new to anybody else, but it's new to me. The Good Wife, I've been watching that.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
On Amazon Prime, because I heard somebody say something about the Golden Globes and Julianna Margulies and that character and how she was a good female character and a good strong lead and there's not that many of them done well, blah, blah, blah. And I was intrigued. And so I binged on a few episodes, and now the storylines, I'm all caught up in the storylines, so I can't just stop.
Is she a good wife?
Yeah, sure. I'm only on season 2.5, so.
Only God can judge.
Yeah, right. I like the I don't, there are some shows that I binge on and I have to keep watching them because they leave it like in, I don't know, in the middle of a sentence, sort of a feel at the end of the episode. Sometimes they do that with these, but sometimes they don't. So I don't have to.
So you'd recommend it?
Yeah, there's some sexuality in it, but it's not.
It's not like a can-can dance in front of
it. It's not a can-can dancing mouse. Worse than that. Yeah, I think I would have. I think. I don't know.
What's on
I'm
going to
say, I'm going to say yes, and then if, and then people can challenge me if they, yeah, I don't really know. I appreciate her as a character. Francisco, what about you?
And what's new on your tube?
What's new on my tube is the BBC version of Sherlock. I've seen a few episodes. I mean, really, there might as well be movies. A few episodes from various seasons, but I haven't like started
two.
From the beginning.
Well, why
from
not?
The two seasons? I don't know. It didn't, like I said in the round table, Sherlock Holmes was never a big character that I really enjoyed all that much. So
what made you decide watch any?
Because Chrissy had seen some of them, and some of them were really interesting.
Benedict.
And so I decided, and season 3 is coming out. And
came
so I wanted to be
already out.
Season 3 is out. So I wanted to get to that point and catch myself up. So season 1, I definitely recommend. Is really good. Has a fun cliffhanger at the very end. So I'm glad that season 2 is available and I'll get to find out what happens. With that, though, let's see if there's anyone pinging us on those communication satellites. Alice.
ComSat online. Receiving incoming transmission.
Sorry, I was pinging you.
Yeah, I got that. In addition to, again, Ryan and Sharon for sharing on Facebook, we have some feedback from we have some comments, Paul, from a past episode and also an iTunes review. So I'll read the episode comment first. RJ, who I believe is Ryan, wrote on episode number 29, "Hey guys, and Sharon. This was lots of fun, though I have to admit the outcome
Which movie was this?
Oh,
thanks, guys, and Sharon. But what is just this? So was for fresh the, perspective.
Yes, this was for The Mask of Zorro, which if you haven't listened to, you can find at retrorewindpodcast.com/RRP29. Ryan continues. This was lots of fun, though I have to admit the outcome was not what I was expecting.
Neither.
Yeah. I'll have to go back and watch to see if I would still call it a classic.
Me too. I mean, I did, but go ahead.
During the show, when you all were discussing others who could have taken Anthony Hopkins' place as Don Diego, I kept thinking Inigo Montoya, a.k.a. Mandy Patinkin. Yeah. But then again, perhaps he was a bit too young at that time. Yeah. Thanks for the show.
Makeup on him.
Can't wait till next time. So I actually conversed with Ryan a little bit about that over Facebook because I had the same idea after listening to the episode that, it would have been great because he plays a Spaniard in Princess Bride, of course. I did some age checking, though, and he would have been he's only 10 years older than Antonio Banderas.
Banderas.
They probably could have done some makeup treatment, but...
Mandy Latin?
He's like Jewish, I believe. European Jewish.
He's like Jewish. He's like Jewish.
Well, he's not Middle Eastern Jewish. He's European Jewish. So I don't know if that's technically different. Maybe they're just Jewish.
But only a traditional.
I'm just going to be quiet now.
That's probably a good idea.
Jewish listeners, please, if you are Jewish, please let us know how you distinguish yourself. Like for me, I know I can distinguish myself as Chicano, or Mexican American as opposed to Latino. So there are differences.
All right.
Enough of that.
I'm just white.
You're just white. Okay.
I'm not cool.
You're very cool, hon. That's why you're on the show, because of your cool factor.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Anyway, I also did check, though, on Alfred Molina's age, and I think he might have worked a bit better in terms of...
Oh, the Doc?
Yeah, Doc Ock from Spider-Man 2. Right. Anyway, though, thank you, Ryan, for listening, and thank you for your comment. Always awesome to hear from you. And then our iTunes review came from, I assume, a new listener. Let's see.
Maybe it's a long-time listener, first-time commenter.
Actually, yes, that's probably more apt given the comment. The headline for the review is Trip Down Memory Lane, 5 stars, by TX Rock Chalk Rachel. And I think, Rachel, if you're the same Rachel I've conversed with some on Twitter, hello. My brother...
If not, I don't say hello.
Hello to this Rachel. She writes, my brother introduced me to the Retro Rewind podcast, and after listening to all the episodes, wow, it is safe to say, well done, good show. What I like most about the podcast is it gets me to think and makes me want to revisit my childhood favorite movies. Also, I really enjoy how they really appreciate their fans and take suggestions too.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Kudos to you for getting through those earlier episodes.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Just totally. In the sound quality.
Hey, man, that Fifth Element episode was awesome.
Well, yes.
Just saying.
It was awesome because it was just the two of us.
Just the two of us. Oh, no, now he's singing. Oh, no, now you're both singing. Help me. Someone, please help me.
Thank you, Rachel, again for that iTunes review. And if you want to leave us an iTunes review, it helps us climb the ranks in iTunes and get more visibility and build this community around retro movies and video games. You can go to retrorewindpodcast.com/iTunes RRP. Now that we've gotten our feedback out of the way, Paul, why don't you tell us what we're going to be doing next time on the show?
Next time we will be rewinding back to that Olympic kind of movie. It's not Olympic, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Mentioned the Olympics?
The climax happens at the France Olympics.
Oh, and what movie is this? Could it be The Cutting Edge? I think so.
Oh, yes.
But until then,
Francisco's very excited.
I'm throwing myself at you.
Oh, my gosh. You quote The Cutting Edge, but you can't quote Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Yeah.
The Grail? Oh,
but until then, we would love if you would share the show with your friends. And if you want to support us even more, go to RetroRewindPodcast.com/support to find out how to best support us, maybe. And if you want to friend, follow, pin, or plus us, go to RetroRewindPodcast.com/social. But if you want, all you want to do is send us some good old-fashioned written feedback or questions, head over to RetroRewindPodcast.com/contact.
Thank you very much, Paul. As Paul said, you can find us on RetroRewindPodcast.com. And you can also find the show at Retro Days, which is retro-days.org.
Our days as in D-A-Y-S? Or
D-A-Z-E. Thank you, Paul.
Oh.
And we'll have a link to that in the show notes. So, and if you're listening from there, hello.
And if you're not, hello.
I do want to add one last thing. If you would like to...
Yes, pauljpowers.com.
Not quite that yet, Paul. Oh, if you'd like to listen to outtakes or our RRP postulates... Go on over.
What's a postulate?
I think they have pills for that now.
Go over to RetroRewindPodcast.com/bonus stage.
/postulates.
Bonus content. Christy.
Oh, whatever. You can just send me an email to RetroRewindPodcast.com/contact.
And you can reach me at pauljpowers.com. through the many social media outlets through there. And Francisco, how can people reach you?
On Twitter at FXRUIZX. Or you can also find me on friend me on Facebook and just the through the show contact form. So I want to thank you, Christy, so much. And for being super way ahead of the ball on giving us your contact information. Was there anything you wanted to promote?
Cricket.
You want to promote Pinocchio. Crickets. Okay.
Pinocchio, what?
Jiminy Cricket.
Always let your conscience be your guide.
Oh my gosh.
And this is Paul Powers promoting I Got No Strings to Hold Me. And if you like Disney movies, don't ask Francisco because he'll give you a frown.
Oh, yep.
I like Tarzan.
Oh, that's a good one.
Tarzan's yeah. awesome. Anyway, did you have anything to promote?
He likes the cutting edge.
Yeah, you can quote that. promote. There's a little banner on the RetroRewind podcast.com. And it's if you click on the Avengers banner, you can download riff tracks that are kind of like the Mystery Science Theater 3000, where they tell jokes throughout the movie. You can sync it up while you watch and play the more popular recent movies or unpopular recent movies, depending on what you're in the mood for. So if you click on the banner, you can help support the podcast that way.
And if you ever want to have, if you think it'd be interesting to listen to Paul and I do a commentary track, don't know how funny it would be, but if you'd be interested in that, please let us know, because I think it'd be fun. But you know, if you guys
which
don't want to hear
Great
it, then
Mouse Detective,
no, the Cutting Edge.
This isn't Mighty Ducks. I thought this was a skating movie about the Olympics.
Anyway. Thank you, Christy.
Is this a kissing movie?
Thank you, Paul. And you're thank welcome. You, listener, whether you're working out, doing your homework, or commuting to work. Appreciate
or
you so much.
Work.
Or listening during work.
Chores.
Yeah. Those truck drivers, man. You
chores. I know someone.
Doing,
I know
doing
someone
chores,
who listens while she does the chores.
Or if you're doing
chores. Or if
chores.
You're sick. You're just laying there.
If you are listening,
I hope you get better.
Feel better soon. Okay, yeah. Bye. Thanks.
Okay, we love you. Bye bye.
If you are listening to this podcast, thank Still. You so much. We super appreciate you. I super appreciate you. I don't know about Christy and Paul, but I do.
Of course we
Francisco,
do.
Francisco, thanks you.
And his ego is now squishing
super.
Me. Super.
And like a Pokemon, super, we'll catch you next time. On the Retro what? Rewind podcast.
Retro Rewind mission complete. Proceed to Nat Point Omega and return to base.
All good things must come through. Maybe even not so good.
Scene, you huh? shut your mouth. It's amazing.
I said it's worth seeing.
Hey, she said shut your mouth. Oh.